So why don't you grab your Bible and open up to the book of Mark chapter 1. We're going to be finishing up chapter 1 today, so we're going to be in that last little section. So Mark chapter 1, you can use the Bibles in the pew backs there. If you're doing that, just keep in mind that it's a different translation than what we read and teach out of here at the Encounter Service at RLC. So while some of the words might sound different, the meaning is the same. If you're following along on your phone, you just want to make sure you have the English Standard Version selected, and we'll, of course, have it up on the screens behind me. So we're in Mark chapter 1 today. So I went to Arizona Christian University for my undergrad. And while I was there, I got to do a lot of cool things. I got to meet a lot of cool people. But my second year there, they launched the men's soccer program. And so I was one of the first players there at the school to play for the team. And there's a lot of things that go into launching a soccer program. You know, you have to find a coach. You have to figure out where you're going to play the games, where you're going to have practice. You have to find players. And so on our team, we had 14 guys that were playing that first year. And out of those 14 of us, 10 had played competitive soccer before. So let me kind of put that in perspective. You need 11 guys to field a full soccer team. So we didn't even have enough guys to field a full team with competitive experience. But that was okay. We still had a lot of fun that year, even though we would go out and get demolished. We were a small Christian school here in Arizona, and where do you go to play other soccer programs, collegiate soccer programs? There's really none in Arizona, so we traveled to California. And we went to play all their big Christian schools that have been having soccer programs for years and years to the point where they were offering scholarships to players from around the world. I remember our first game, we were playing Point Loma University, and I was on the field with a 26-year-old dude from England, a guy from Kenya, and another guy from Asia. And here I am from a small Christian college playing on a volunteer basis, really. I didn't get a scholarship just because I loved the game. And that first game, we just got hammered. And for most of the games that year, that was the case. In fact, we won one game the entire time, the entire season. But here was the cool thing about our team. Is as that year went on, we connected with each other. We became friends. We really became a family. We developed this community. We hung out before and after practice. We hung out and ate lunch and dinner together. And so we would go to these games, and a lot of times we would get destroyed by 12 goals to none. And it would hurt. It was a knock to your pride. And then we'd get on the team bus, and we'd be heading back to the hotel. And if you had been on that bus right after this game with us, you probably wouldn't have even been able to tell that anything was wrong, because we were just having fun. We were joking around. We were making fun of each other. We were doing what guys do. And that's what made that year bearable for us, is we had this community. We were together. Even though we were losing, we were together. We had each other. We were friends. We were family. And so today we're going to look at a section of scripture where Jesus deals with a community aspect of someone's life. And we're going to learn something interesting about this man that we're going to meet today, and we're even going to see something interesting happen with Jesus. So we're in Mark chapter 1 today. Follow along with me if you will. We're going to start in verse 40 here. So Mark chapter 1 verse 40, Mark writes this. And a leper came to him, imploring him, and kneeling, said to him, "If you will, you can make me clean." And moved with pity, he stretched out his hand and touched him and said to him, "I will be clean." And immediately the leprosy left him, and he was made clean. And Jesus sternly charged him and sent him away at once and said to him, "See that you say nothing to anyone. But go, show yourself to the priest, and offer for your cleansing what Moses commanded for proof to them." But he went out and began to talk freely about it and to spread the news, so that Jesus could no longer openly enter a town, but was out in desolate places, and people were coming to him from every quarter. Friends, these are the words of the living God. Here in these six verses, we're introduced to this man, this leper, whose life has been greatly affected by his disease. And we see what Jesus does in response to that. But before we dive in, I want to remind you of where we're going, because this all ties extremely well with what Mark's doing. I want to remind you, too, that we have to remember Mark's not concerned with necessarily chronological order. This unit here, this section of this scripture that talks about Jesus healing this leper, we're not quite sure where it happened in the ministry of Jesus, but we see that Mark puts it here for a very specific purpose, and it's to connect with what happened before it. So if you're here with us last week, you might remember that we spent a day in the life of Jesus. We looked at Jesus' life in a 24-hour period that really started out with him 2 weeks ago. He's in the synagogue. He's preaching the gospel. He's preaching from the Old Testament. And a demon-possessed man comes up to him and confronts him. And we see that Jesus says, "Be silent," and come out of him. And the demon leaves him. And then Jesus leaves the synagogue with his disciples, and they go to Simon's house, and Simon's mother-in-law is sick. And we saw that Jesus didn't even say anything in that regard. In fact, he just walked over to her, grabbed her by the hand, and lifted her up, and she was healed. And then we saw that night came, Sabbath ended, and people from the town, Mark tells us that the whole city brought their sick and their possessed to Simon's mother-in-law's house, and they were at the gate. No one could get in. And we're not sure from the text, but we get this idea that it was late into the evening and Jesus is healing people and he's casting out demons. And then we read as the day is wrapping up that he wakes early the next morning and he goes out into a desolate place. He finds some time just to get away from the crowd, away from the disciples, and he's just there with the Father and he's praying. And then we read that the disciples find him. And they're like, "Hey, Jesus, we got to go back. There's tons of people there. You need to keep healing people, and you need to keep casting out demons, Lord. The church is growing. We have this gathering. We need to capitalize on the momentum." And then Jesus says this. He says, "Let us go on to the next towns." In other words, let's leave. It's time to go. "Let us go on to the next towns that I may preach there also, for that is why I came out." And we saw that really Jesus' main concern was the preaching of the gospel. That was his mission for coming, and he wasn't going to let anything stand in the way. And so finally we read that he goes throughout all of Galilee. He's preaching the word. He's giving the gospel to people. He's casting out demons. And Mark wants to wrap this all up with this healing of the leper. And so look at what he says in verse 40. He writes, "And a leper came to him, imploring him, and kneeling, said to him, 'If you will, you can make me clean.'" Now that word leper, that noun there in the Greek, is used for various skin diseases throughout the Middle East. We're not quite sure what specific skin disease they're referring to. All we know is that this man had a skin disease that was classified as leprosy. And so what that meant is that man was now cast out. He was put out of the community because the leprosy has made him unclean according to Levitical law. So he's been cast away. His community is gone. His family, it won't talk to him. It won't interact with him. The law of the Jewish people said that someone infected with leprosy had to stay 100 cubits away from the next person. We even see evidence that if you had leprosy, you had to wear different clothing that identified you as someone with leprosy. And as you approached a group of people, you had to call out, "Unclean, unclean," so they knew who you were. And so here's this man. He has leprosy. He's been cast out. His family has kind of shunned him because they want to remain clean. Maybe he's gone out and he's found other leopards and we kind of see some evidence in writings that they would form little communities within themselves. And so he's there in his new community, away from his family. And he begins to hear about this guy named Jesus. And this guy, Jesus, is preaching with authority, remember. And he's healing, and he's casting out demons, and this guy's going, okay, this is my chance. I can be healed now. And so we read that he finds him. He tracks down Jesus, and he comes to him, and he kneels before him. And I want you to see here that he's breaking laws to do this. He's breaking the religious laws. He's not 100 cubits away from Jesus standing, Lord, make me clean. He comes and he kneels. He falls on his face before the Lord. And he says just a simple sentence, if you will, you can make me clean. Now I want you to catch what he says. If you will, you can make me clean. See, the leper isn't questioning Jesus' ability. The leper isn't questioning Jesus' authority over sickness. He's questioning Jesus' willingness. He says, Lord, you can make me clean, but only if you will. Now, I think we can learn something from that. When we go to God in prayer, when we go before Jesus in prayer to pray for loved ones, those who are sick with a disease, our prayer should mimic this cry of the leper. Lord, if you will, heal this person. This past week, I had the honor of doing a wedding for a couple that's in our church. And a week before the wedding, they got a call. And a family member had some bad news. There was some medical concerns. And so I got to sit with the groom and his parents before the service in this little room, where this little office space, and I just got to pray with them for their neighbor, for their loved one. And I said, Lord, if you will, heal her. Make it miraculous. To the point where the doctors, the nurses are like, I don't even know, we don't know what happened. She's healed. See, we never doubt God's ability, but we question his willingness. Is it part of his plan? And so the leper here says, Lord, if you will, you can make me clean. And then look at the response of Jesus in verse 41. Moved with pity, he stretched out his hand and touched him. I want you to catch that. Moved with pity, he stretched out his hand and touched him. Jesus here breaks the religious law. He breaks the religious law. He reaches out and he touches this leper. Now, imagine being the disciples. Imagine being Simon or Andrew or James or John. You've grown up in the faith. You know this. This is your culture. Okay, when someone has leprosy, we put them out because we don't want to be clean. And here you are with your new rabbi, this guy named Jesus, and a leper runs up to them, kneels at Jesus' feet. And then your rabbi reaches out and touches him. I'm sure they were freaking out. Oh my gosh, now he's unclean. Now I'm unclean because I'm here. And Jesus doesn't care. He's not concerned with the law. He says he's moved with pity. Now, bear with me here real quick. We're going to geek out for a sec, okay? As you know, I'm a Bible geek. There's a textual variant in this verse. Now, a textual variant means that there's certain manuscripts out there. There's a ton of manuscripts that contain the text of Scripture, and we bring them together, we compile them. And there's a very old set of manuscripts called Codex Beza. That's the geeky part. And instead of that word pity, it has the Greek word for anger. And so this verse in this codex would be moved with anger. He stretched out his hand and touched him. And when I read that, I was like, moved with anger. Moved with anger. Why is Jesus angry? And then as I thought it through, I realized, well, maybe he's angry for a number of reasons. Here's the Son of God, the second person of the Trinity. He created the universe. And if we remember back to Genesis, what did God say after he created everything? It was good. And now here he is seeing the evil of the fall in this man. Seeing a man who's been cast away, who's been ostracized, who's been met not with compassion, but with recoil. As I'm sure if he approached somebody, as he screamed out, unclean, unclean, and as he was coming to get water, people scattered, they parted, they went to the other side of the street. So he's filled with this righteous anger because of the way this man's been treated, of the evil that's in the world, this disease that's there. And so whatever the reading, anger, pity, whatever it is, he reaches out his hand and he touches him and then he says four words. I will be clean. And we read in verse 42 that immediately the leprosy left him and he was made clean. Immediately. Now, today, leprosy is a very specific term. And I'm sure none of us in this room are actually experiencing that disease, but maybe some of us have some skin disease, and so it's hard to kind of relate to this. But I think Mark is doing something very intentional here. See, because while none of us maybe suffer physically with leprosy, we all suffer spiritually with leprosy. We are all spiritual lepers. We all have a disease in us that's destroying the image of God that we were created in. And so we need to learn here from the leper. Because the problem we have is we're often blind to our spiritual leprosy. It's often not as bad as we think it is. Or maybe we just don't even think we have it. But here the leper realizes his disease. He realizes where he's at. And so he comes to Jesus. He tracks him down and he falls on his knees. Lord, if you will, you can make me clean. And we're to do the same with Jesus. We are to come to him at the cross, where he voluntarily went, where he was nailed to, he was beaten, a crown of thorns placed on his head. It was there on the cross that his body was broken. His blood was shed for us. Now here's something else that's amazing about this story. Is in the Levitical law, you couldn't be around an unclean person because you would contract their uncleanliness. In fact, an uncleanly person couldn't even enter a room. If they entered into a room, the entire room was made unclean. And here's Jesus, before this man, reaches out his hand, touches him, and his uncleanliness has no effect on Jesus Christ. In fact, what we see is that the cleanliness of Jesus is transferred to the man with leprosy. Just like on the cross, where Jesus Christ goes with no sin, our sin is transferred upon him. And there he suffers and dies. He experiences the full wrath of God for our sins, for our uncleanliness, for our spiritual leprosy. And in return, we're given the righteousness of God. In return, we are made clean before the Lord. In verse 42, immediately, just like the leper, once we come to the cross, we are made clean. We are made clean. So the story continues in verse 44, or in verse 43. We read that Jesus sternly charges him and sends him away at once. He sternly charges him. He orders him. He commands him here. This is like a parent saying to their kid, okay, go clean your room, eat your dinner, pick up your toys, brush your teeth, take a bath. You're earnestly, you're sternly charging them to do something. So Jesus sternly charges him. And look what he says in verse 44. See that you say nothing to anyone, but go, show yourself to the priest, and offer for your cleansing what Moses commanded for a proof to them. Here we see this continuation that Mark has been showing us throughout his gospel that we call the messianic secret. The messianic secret. Remember, we've touched on this before. The reason Jesus had ordered those demons not to say anything, the reason he orders this man not to say anything, is because he wants to veil his true identity so it does not hinder his mission. Friends, remember, Jesus Christ did not come to be known as a miracle worker. Yes, he healed people. Yes, he cast out demons, but that was not the purpose that he came. The purpose that he entered, the reason he entered into creation, he took on flesh and bone, was so that he could go to the cross for us. That was the mission. And so we see in Scripture, especially in this first part of Mark, he'll tell people don't say anything about what happened. He wants to hide his true identity. So he says, look, don't say anything to anyone. Don't talk about what happened here. Don't say what he did. And then he says, look, but go show yourself to the priest and offer for your cleansing what Moses commanded for a proof to them. Now, this is kind of cool, right? Because a lot of people will charge Jesus for violating the law. As we read through the Gospels, we see the Pharisees come around him. They start to accuse him of violating the law. You're breaking the law. You're not supposed to heal on the Sabbath, Jesus. You're breaking the law. And what we see here is that, well, truly what happened was Jesus violated man's law, but he upholds God's law. And we see that here because he tells this leper, don't say anything about what I did. Just go show yourself to the priest, which was the first step in a leper being restored to community. And then he says, and then offer for your cleansing what Moses commanded for a proof to them. In other words, go make a sacrifice. Go make an offering in the temple. He's upholding the law of God here. He's saying, do what the law prescribes in order to be made communally clean. And look at the reaction. Look what happens in verse 45. But he went out and began to talk freely about it, and to spread the news so that Jesus could no longer openly enter a town, but was out in desolate places, and people were coming to him from every quarter. Now, we're not sure if he completely ignored and disobeyed Jesus. I would venture to guess that the man actually went to the priest to be declared clean. There probably would have been a local priest there in the town he was in. And it would have been easy for him to travel to that local priest and say, okay, look at me, I've been made clean. But what we gather from the text is this man did not then travel the 90 miles to Jerusalem to make an offering in the temple. And so this man disobeys what God commands him. He disobeys what Jesus says to him. And he begins to talk about it freely. He begins to spread the news. In other words, this is one of the earliest recordings of a missionary in Scripture. A missionary of Jesus Christ. Jesus says, say nothing to anyone. And this man goes out. I couldn't help but wonder as I was studying and reading this week, this man who was so used to walking down the road and shouting unclean, unclean, while wearing his clothes that set him apart, what was he yelling now? What was he yelling now as he walked down the street? Jesus cleansed me. Jesus healed me. He talks freely about it. And then look at the outcome. So that, in other words, the result of his spreading the news was that Jesus could no longer openly enter a town. The fame of Jesus begins to spread. The news about him begins to spread. People start anticipating him coming, and they're just there waiting for him to the point where he can't even enter the town. He's out in the desolate places. And even though he's out in the desert, he's out in the wilderness, which, if you remember, in the Old Testament, wasn't a place you really wanted to be, because it was kind of the domain of Satan and his demons. People were coming to him from all over. They were still bringing the sick. They were still bringing those that were possessed for Jesus to heal him. Now I want you to see something here. The roles of the men of Jesus and this leper are now reversed. At the beginning of this, in verse 40, the leper is on the outside. He's out in the desolate places. He's not welcomed inside. He's not able to come inside. And Jesus is there. Jesus is on the inside. He's part of the community. And now here in verse 45, they've been flipped. Jesus is out in the desolate places. He's out preaching and teaching. And that man has now been renewed to the community that he was a part of. In these six verses here that close out chapter 1 of Mark, we see something amazing about God. Is that he's a God of reconciliation. And really from 2 weeks ago when we started that 24-hour period of Jesus' life, we see Jesus reconciling people to each other, to their communities, and more importantly, to God. So as we close out Mark chapter 1 here, that's the takeaway. That Jesus is a person concerned with reconciliation. Not only reconciling us to each other from our differences, but reconciling us to the Father through the cross. And so this week, as we go out, as we're around others, as we're with people in community, let us be like the leper. Let us see our spiritual leprosy for what it is. Let us see our sinfulness, be aware of it. And let's go to the cross. Let's stand before the Father and say, Lord, if you will, you can make me clean. And if we do that, the Bible tells us that he's faithful and just to forgive our sins. And just like here, he'll give us that four-word answer, I will be clean. Let's pray. Father, we just thank you for today, Lord. And God, my prayer is that you would move in this place, that you would help us to see our spiritual leprosy, that you would help us to realize our sinfulness, and that we'd be able to just come to the feet of Jesus, fall on our knees, and lay it before him. And Father, I pray for those who are not only experiencing spiritual affliction, but they're experiencing physical affliction. Lord, be with them. Lord, and if you will, you can heal them. Lord, we believe that you have the ability, you have the power to heal them miraculously to the point where doctors and nurses and even us as believers are just flabbergasted. But Lord, we also know that if it's not your will to heal them miraculously, that healing might come in different shapes or forms through medicine or surgery. Or maybe even just a physical healing of death, where we reunited with the Father. So God, right now I just pray that you'd be in this place, that you'd move amongst us. Holy Spirit, work in our community here. Convict us of our sins. Call us to repentance. We pray these things in your name. Amen.